Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Golf Time Midwest Magazine and the fabulous Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. If you haven't played Eagle Ridge Resort, have we got the ticket for you? Just go to Golf Time Midwest Magazine, and you can find it with a link on our main page at Wisconsin.Golf. And once you get to the Golf Time Midwest Magazine, you will find details on how to enter our great golf story contest. The contest deadline is May 1st, so enter now. The basics of the contest are this: 350 words or less, funny, fantastic, or of human interest. The lucky winner will be the most popular person around. That's because he or she will win a weekend getaway for six to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. So go to our website at wisconsin.golf, or for more details, check out our sister website, golftimemag.com, and click on through to the entry form that includes the box to type in your essay, 350 words or less, in our great golf story contest at Golf Time Midwest Magazine, and you just might find yourself teeing it up at Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. Along with Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. Gary, it's been a while since you and I have played Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena, but it's always been a great time, and we got to thank them for being the sponsor of our great golf story contest this year. Whoever wins that contest is going to be one happy person.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go down to Eagle Ridge sometime next month, Rob. I'm really looking forward to it. There's Rascal in the background. Sorry about that. I worked in Freeport, Illinois for a couple of years, and I went to the General the day it opened. Andy North was there and Dave Wanstead. They had a big crew out there. It's a very nice place, and I'm looking forward to seeing it for the first time in many years, hopefully in a few weeks here.
Well, Eagle Ridge, a very good partner with a lot of high schools, a lot of colleges, in both the in that kind of tri-state corner of Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And Gary, we're going to kick off Talking.Golf today by looking at college golf. And as we record our podcast here back on a Friday, we start first with some exciting news in the Big Ten Conference. The Big Ten Women's Golf Championship going on at Fox Chapel Golf Club in Pittsburgh, PA. And the University of Wisconsin, after 18 holes, currently P4, and Emily Lauterbach, the senior out of Heartland, tied for first with a 3-under par 69. Emily's had a tough spring, a little up and down at times, but boy, she really came through today. A round that included three birdies, one bogey, and she's got the Badgers in great position after round one.
Rob, you would know this. I don't know. I'm sure you would. Has there ever been an individual women's Big Ten champion from Wisconsin?
That is a good question. I'll look that up. Yeah. I don't remember one. I mean,
I don't either.
I think that they won the Big Ten championship back when Dennis Tiziani was coaching, I think they did it with at that point smoke and mirrors. I don't think there was ever an individual winner, and I don't think it's been a while since the Badgers have had someone that has really had the firepower of Emily Lauterbach. Let's not forget she's got status on the Epson Tour that she plans to use once she wraps up her college career. I know she hopes it doesn't happen this weekend, but it's kind of exciting to see her come out and start with a bang.
For sure. And I'm looking at the team scores, Rob, and this is going to be, you know, there's a couple days left in the Big Ten championships here. This is going to be a barn burner because the difference between third place Maryland and 12th place Iowa is only 9 shots. There's a bunch of teams bunched up between plus 10 and plus 19, including Wisconsin at plus 11, tied with Northwestern. So, you know, these teams are going to move up and down quite a bit, I think, over the next couple days here.
We talked last week about how would Todd Erline, you know, get his team, which, you know, by some accounts kind of underperformed much of the spring, to be at its best here for the Big Ten championship. And it sure seems like whatever was said kind of took hold, because that's a pretty solid opening round in knowing what's at stake here, knowing that if they play well enough, you know, we've talked about it before, you know, I still think an at-large berth to the NCAA regionals is a possibility, but they've got to make some hay here this week.
Yeah, definitely. And they got a 72 out of their number five player, which that always helps when you have that kind of depth and you get a really good score out of your fifth player in the lineup.
And I'm looking here at the and I think they've taken down the Badger record book. I was told they were going to update it. That hasn't happened yet. They still haven't added the updated version of that. But there has never been a medalist from the University of Wisconsin. The Badgers did win the Big Ten championship last in 1994, and when it was played at Columbus, Ohio. And there has been a individual winner from Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. In fact, several times, as I look through here, let's just make sure I don't skip the most recent. The most recent back-to-back Big Ten champion out of La Crosse playing for Indiana, Erin Carney, former WIAA state champion. And then prior to her was Sarah DeCray out of Racine. She also won it for Indiana back in 1986. And then Sue Ertle, who I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, for a while we would boldface her name in the scores for the LPGA Tour because she called Milwaukee home. I don't believe she was a Milwaukee native. She played her college golf at Michigan State and won Big Ten championships in 1977 and 78. So that's about as close as we've come, Gary, to anybody with Wisconsin ties winning a Big Ten championship. So what an exciting thing that would be for Emily Lauterbach.
Yeah, it would be awesome. And as you said, she's been a little bit up and down this spring. So what a way to go out and get ready for her professional career by winning the Big Ten or, you know, placing the top three or four would be quite an accomplishment, I think.
And ultimately, Todd Erline went with the lineup of Emily Lauterbach, Vanessa Ho, Chloe Chan, Carly Carter, Alexia Seal, and Gia Feliciano. Now, at the start of the spring, Gary, Alexia Seal, I think, was kind of in the top three or four, and then for a while was out of the lineup, worked her way back in. She's the young lady who shot 72 today, and I really thought coming out of high school she would be a difference maker. So this might be evidence of her kind of settling down. We're late in the semester academically at UW, and maybe she's kind of getting her comfortable with the balance there. Vanessa Ho and Chloe Chan both have a year or two under their belts, so they're no strangers to Big Ten competition. But Carly Carter and Gia Feliciano's had some good rounds this season, but she's also struggled at times. And in the 78, they counted one of the three 78. So take your pick. If I'm scoring that, Gary, I always take the first one that comes in. So it's the Gia Feliciano number six in the play six count four. And Carly Carter has just kind of hung around there and been consistent but not flashy. And I think if they could get two 77s out of her the last couple of days, I think maybe that would be out of that 4-5-6 group, and then let Lauterbach, Vanessa Ho, and Chloe Chan do their work at the top of the lineup. They could hold that position. It just 54 holes of golf is a long stretch. The neat thing is they don't play the two rounds in one day like they do most of the season. So they played their round. They might have worked on a few things, gone back to the hotel. They're well rested. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes the next few days.
Yeah, and they are right now they're ahead of three top 50 teams, Purdue 45, Michigan 43, and Michigan State 32. It'll be tough to hold that position, I would think, as the days go on here. But if they do, it would be they would probably be outperforming expectations, I would say.
Well, I think you're right. And I think, the other thing that comes into play here too is, just the, how Golfstat figures into the at-large berths for the NCAA tournament. They come into the week, Gary, ranked 82nd in the country. So, they're not far out of that top 60 range. I think, at the start of the spring, we kind of looked at, I believe they were in that top 70. And that seems to be kind of that cutoff for the at-larges. A number of the Power Five conferences usually get five, six, maybe seven berths in that, in the regionals. So, but again, it's hard in the spring. A lot of things ebb and flow, but you're right. I mean, to be ahead of three teams ranked ahead of it and tied with the number 15 team in the country at this point in Northwestern is pretty good stuff
if you're building a resume for Selection Wednesday. They will announce the NCAA selections on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, so noon Central, on Golf Channel. And it'll be a number of at-large teams, and then the rest 30 teams will advance to the championship in Scottsdale. But let's see here. What do we got for the boy, 30 teams advance to the championship in Scottsdale, but it doesn't say how many advance into the regional. So that'll be all unveiled, though, on Wednesday. There are 2, 4, 6 regional sites this year. Athens, Georgia, Gardens, Florida, Palm Gardens, Florida, that is, Pullman, Washington, Raleigh, North Carolina, San Antonio, Texas, and Westfield, Indiana. You aren't guaranteed to go to the regional that's closest to you. You go where it you know, where they have they try to balance the various fields to make sure that all six regionals have similar competition. And then the NCAA championships will be May 19th through the 24th at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale. Gary, already two golfers with Wisconsin ties have qualified for the national champion or the NCAA regionals. Mia Seaman out of Milton, former state women's open champion, playing her senior year at Lipscomb University in Tennessee. Lipscomb with a 295 in the final round of the Atlantic Sun Conference Championship earlier this week, rallies past Florida Gulf State in Central Arkansas to win that automatic qualifying berth. And then the same day, Abby Caviani and Missouri State pull out a win. They win by 9 shots over Evansville and Belmont in the Missouri Valley Conference. And Abby Caviani with a 76 to finish T4. By the way, Mia Seaman was a final round 75 in that great comeback for Lipscomb, and she finishes tied for 13th. So we talked about Abby Caviani and the good fit that she's been at Missouri State last week on Talking.Golf. Same can be said for Mia Seaman, and now they have an opportunity to compete in the NCAA regionals.
That's tremendous. And Mia, of course, transferred. This is her fifth year, right, Rob?
That is correct, after 4 years at South Dakota State.
Yeah. Yeah, what a that's great. You know, you transfer, you get in the portal, transfer, and go to a good school and get a chance in your fifth year to go to the NCAA championships, regionals at least. That's really cool.
And it's a little bit unexpected too. I saw her parents post that they went down to the conference championship thinking it was going to be her swan song, and she gets another couple of weeks of college golf out of it. When I talked to her as we were doing our Wisconsin.Golf yearbook about whether she'd be at, for example, the State Women's Open, State Women's Amateur this year, or turning professional and doing what Tatum Beck and Bobby Stricker and Tess Hackworthy and Morgan McCorkle, Taylor McCorkle, Morgan's sister, are all playing mini tour golf. I mean, that's totally within the realm for Mia Seaman. I mean, she's kind of in that category where she's got a powerful game and she's got a pretty good resume to warrant a run, but she wasn't sure what she was doing. I'm not sure if this changes anything, but always exciting to get to the postseason in any sport. But college golf, it's not easy, Gary, because you've got to play well throughout the year and kind of get on that, I guess, for lack of a better term, in good favor with the golf stat rankings. I don't understand them, but there are all sorts of metrics. I don't know if you have any better handle on how this all works in terms of getting up and down in the regional rankings, the national rankings. It just seems pretty foreign to me.
Yeah, it's completely foreign to me, Rob. You've got a better handle on it than I do, I guarantee you.
So we've got the Horizon League Championship is one of the final ones to be determined. As we've talked about, UW Green Bay's had an exceptional year. They struggled in the final round of their last tournament, but a lot of that was weather related. Part of that, the residual of the wacky weather that blew through the upper Midwest last weekend. But I think Lee Reinke's kind of settled on a lineup, perhaps, and for the women's side. And it's kind of led by Ashley Kalka, who's in her sixth year of college golf. She had 1 year off with an injury, a medical redshirt. So she's kind of super senior and then some. And then two other super seniors, Isabel Malecki and Courtney Matchkey. Isabel Malecki, Gary, wasn't supposed to come back for an extra year, but at the last minute decided to do so. And it's coming, you know, she's come up big for the Phoenix. And then Kaylee Kotlowski, and it looks like Ellie Fritsch will probably hold down that fifth spot. She's finished a little bit ahead of Grace Welch, who's been battling for that fifth spot. And so they'll be teeing it up down at Howie in the Hills, Florida, here at the start of next week. And then I believe it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, ahead of the selection show on Wednesday. So a chance for the Phoenix to battle for a team title. So we may be talking about them. It's been a good year in terms of women's college golf, which bodes well for a good summer of amateur and state open golf back home at Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, you went through the lineup at UW Green Bay, and I played with Courtney Matchkey in a charity event a couple of years ago, and I can vouch for how good she is. Very talented, and she's been sort of in the middle of their lineup, right, at Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, Ashley Kalk has been a steady number one. Isabel Malecki's had some great finishes, so you know, technically yeah. Average, she might factor in there, but Courtney's been kind of that steady influence, the bridge between those two other seniors, and then Kotlowski, who's a sophomore out of Stoughton, and Ellie Fritsch, who's a freshman out of Middleton. And so, you know, again, it bodes well for the future. They've got some great recruits coming in Hannah Dunk and Riley Paczynski, Dunk out of Milton and Paczynski out of Stevens Point. So and then I believe, I don't know if it's been made public yet, but the reigning WIAC champion, Lexi Mead out of UW-Eau Claire, is going to do a grad transfer to Green Bay this fall, and I'm told. And it's kind of brings her career full circle, because she initially committed to UW Green Bay, and then something happened where I don't know if it was the scholarship offer or what happened, but she wound up spending her freshman year at Drake University before transferring back to Eau Claire. Transferred back to Eau Claire. Her dad wound up being the coach, is the coach now, Andy Mead. And but now Lexi not on the roster this spring and hasn't competed in the one event that they've been in. And so it bodes that she will move over to UW Green Bay next year. Won't be the first time that a prominent WIAC player has transferred to a Division I school. Grace Walsh's sister did that. Seems like eons ago at UW Stevens Point, wound up going to Ball State for her final 2 years. So it's a chance for Green Bay to finish off one era and then bridge the gap to another. They've been by far the most consistently competitive team near the top of their conference of any, you know, conference we, or of any conference we cover. And so it really is going to be exciting to see what they can do down at Mission Inn Resort in Howie in the Hills, to see whether they can finish off what's been a spectacular season.
Yeah, Lee Reinke's done a great job down there with that, or I should say up there from where I am with that program, Rob, and way up there from where you are.
Way up there.
Yeah, he's done a good job, and he's got some good people coming in. He's going to lose a couple, but the pipeline continues, and looks like they're going to be a strong team for at least a few years to come here.
And the UW Green Bay men have come on a little bit here in the spring, and they also will compete at the conference championship, the Horizon League championship here at Howie in the Hills. Concurrently, they will play the El Campion course, and then the women will play the adjacent course down at Mission Inn Resort, the Las Colinas course. And that is Sunday through Tuesday at Howie in the Hills, Florida. It was good news on our part, Gary. We got a text shortly after the podcast last week from Mike Wilson, who felt we were spot on with our breakdown of their roster and who might be going to the Big Ten championship, which is, you know, always good to hear. Mike's been a great supporter of what we do and the podcast and one of our many avid listeners. We said last week that Cameron Huss and Coulter Smith were kind of the mainstays the last few years for the Badgers and would probably anchor the Big Ten lineup. And then based on performance, Maxime Legbro, who's a grad transfer out of France and competed at Lander University last year, would probably have a spot locked up, as would another grad transfer, Clayton Pribue, Madison native, who competed at Davidson College, led Davidson to a conference championship last year and a NCAA regional berth. And then it boils down to Max Schwartz, Graham Moody, and Daniel Oz, who have all been in and out of the lineup there. And now the Badgers will be next on the docket to compete at conference, but they will not be competing until a week from today, as we record this on a Friday, April 28th through the 30th. Galloway National Golf Club, Galloway, New Jersey, the 54-hole Big Ten Championship. So, Gary, the good news is we're on the right track there with the Badger men. Based on the way they've played this spring, the sky's the limit there. They've been, I think, while they haven't gone head-to-head on paper with Illinois, they've been at the top or near the top of almost every leaderboard they've been on this spring.
They have, and that's going to be a very competitive fight for that final spot. They don't – it's the women play six, take count four, right? The men is 5-4. Yeah, so
– yes.
So we have basically three guys fighting for that last spot, it looks like. You go with the hot hand, the guy who wins that spot, hopefully will be able to contribute, and they'll have great balance and great depth going into the Big Tens.
And I'm not sure whether any of these at the conference level can bring six and fill in. I think at the regional level, that is the case, where you can sub. We talked about the substitution rule last week. In fact, it's funny because I got a nice note from Reagan Stuckey, former Kettle Moraine golfer who's down at Tennessee Tech. And Reagan Stuckey was a sixth golfer this last week at their conference championship and got placed in the lineup for the final round. She sat and watched the first two rounds, and the number five golfer didn't perform very well. So they put Reagan in, and I believe she had, if it wasn't a season low, it was close to it, a 77 in the final round for Tennessee Tech to close out a really good, solid freshman year there for Reagan. But I don't know whether there's a substitution allowance at the conference tournament, or if they go with the five that they bring. So I don't know if there's that component to it. The Marquette Golden Eagles is a team that we really think has the opportunity to not only win the Big East championship, but most likely or quite possibly they have the firepower to get to the national championship down here at Greyhawk, and their Big East championship will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, also April 28th through the 30th. Do we dare go out on a limb and try to forecast who's going to be in that lineup, Gary?
That'll be a tough one. They've got a dual meet this weekend, Rob, against Loyola, and it's out near Baltimore. I was talking to Coach Bailey today, Rob, and he said it's a Marquette alum who owns a private club they're going to play. And he said, you can't Google it. I mean, it shows up nowhere. It's so private that he said, this guy just has his buddies play there, basically. And it's like a superbly conditioned country club course. But he said, he gave me the name of it. I forget the name now. But he said, you won't find it. You won't find pictures of it. And I said, well, will your guys take photos? He said, nope. All the cell phones are going to be in the van. They will not be bringing their cameras onto the course, even for the practice round. So, apparently, wow. This guy who owns this course does not want any word going out about what kind of golf course it is. So, and then they get ready for the Big East. And as you say, it's they've got again. There's another team that has some depth. I interviewed Nicolas Evangelo today, Nico from Spain, and he's had a really good season, Rob. Six top tens, fall and spring combined, and Tyler Leach has a lot of experience there too. The two players are going to lose after this year. And then, behind them, there's a ton of depth.
Well, and Marquette just last week or earlier this week, actually, closed out the regular season with a victory at the Red Hawk Intercollegiate, the same in Fox Chapel, PA, at the Pittsburgh Field Club. And I believe that's the same course that the Badger women are playing. And they got top 10 finishes from Max Lyons, Boom Sima Ari, and Nicolas Evangelio, the aforementioned, who Gary will be featuring on Wisconsin.golf in the coming days. Tyler Leach playing the one position, played pretty well. He was out of the lineup when I saw them down here in Arizona at the event that Loyola of Maryland hosted here. And then They've got, and Josh Robinson has been, you know, I think steady, maybe not as spectacular as the others, but when I saw him, you know, he looked really solid. And, you know, you look at the stats, I think Nicholas has been, you know, managed to kind of emerge as the lowest, the scoring leader on the team. He was at a 71.85 heading into the Red Hawk earlier this week. And then you had three guys in the 72s, Tyler Leach, Max Lyons, and Josh Robinson. Boone Sima Arie at 73.04. And a guy who didn't play on Monday but looked good at points during the spring is Patrick Adler. And then we can't forget Aiden Lafferty, who's only had eight rounds, but, you know, 74.88. That's some good stuff down there at Marquette. I can't wait to see who Coach Bailey puts in the lineup down at Riverton Point Country Club in Hardeeville, South Carolina, where the Big East championship will be, according to the schedule.
Yeah, the first few guys you mentioned, Nicholas with the team low average, and then the three guys who are averaging 72 something. You would think that they would all have an excellent shot to be in lineup. And then, you know, Boom Sima Arie has had some moments, and he's got a lot of game. He's very long off the tee. And after that, you know, they still have two or three more guys who could contribute. So I don't know if I'd want to be Steve Bailey and have to pick a team to go into the Big East. There are going to be a couple disappointed players who are left off the roster.
Max Lyons with eight rounds in the 60s this year, Nicholas seven. And then you get, Tyler Leach with four, Boom Sima Arie with four, and Josh Robinson with three. I'm not sure that, you know, necessarily factors in. Low round among the Golden Eagles, Max Lyons had a 65, and Nicholas Evangelio a 65. So, you know, there's some firepower there. I think you got to go with a combination of, you know, experience. I think that'll be a key. And consistency. I think that Steve Bailey will look at guys that have been, that haven't gone too far in and out, which is why I think it was really important for Tyler Leach to, you know, come back and play the way he has after being the individual down at the at Palm Valley here in that early spring tournament they had. I went on a limb last week and gave him my picks. I'm going to go again. Nicholas Evangelio at the one, or maybe Tyler Leach because he is the fifth year senior. So that those guys would be the 1-2. Max Lyons has to be in there. He's just, you know, too solid and has been good the entire year at the three. And then, boy, I got to go Josh Robinson at the four, and then Boom Sima Arie at the five. But, you know, if there's again, not knowing whether there's the six player provision at the conference, like we know there is at the regional. Yeah, I think Patrick Adler, you know, waiting in the wings has got to be, got to be someone that, you look at there. But right now I think form suggests that, you know, Boom Sima Arie, it gets that fifth spot ahead of Adler. And even though Josh Robinson maybe hasn't played quite as well late in the spring as he did early, I still think he's a solid candidate to be in that lineup.
Yeah, that sounds like a really strong lineup to me, Rob. I think you probably have it right there. And, having that depth, that's a good problem to have for a coach. It's unfortunate for the guys who don't get to play in the conference championship, but it's a good problem to have for a coach to have that kind of depth where you can, you've got a couple guys fighting for that final spot, and any of them could really contribute.
Do you get the sense, Gary, I mean, you know, in team sports, you have, you know, guys that are going in and out of the line, you know, like in basketball, football, you know, you might alternate quarterbacks. You might, there's substitution patterns in basketball. You know, how do you, I got to think that if you go to a school to win golf tournaments, you know, you're all in with what coach decides, and you got to be there and be the biggest cheerleader for these guys that ultimately get picked to be the top five because they need that support. They can't come off the course and look at you and say, gosh, should you have been in the lineup? I just think that, you know, I think that everybody knows what they're getting into when they play college golf. You get that sense that is what the way, you know, the guys, you know, on these teams perceive it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Mark, you hear the cliche that we're a family. You hear that so often. It's such a cliche, but I think with Marquette's team, it really is true. Those guys really, really like each other. That whole team, there's not a bad apple on the team. They're all really high character guys. Steve Bailey told me today their cumulative grade point average this semester is 3.89, wow, which is outstanding. Yeah, they're all smart kids, good care, high character people. And so I think you're right, Rob. I think, you know, the guys who are left off, you know, are disappointed, but not bitter, certainly. And then they're there to cheer on and support their teammates who are in the lineup.
And it happens everywhere. We'll close our conversation about college golf talking about the University of Illinois, who is by far and away the top team with a Wisconsin kid on it on the men's side, you know, to be in the hunt all the way down to the final day at Greyhawk at the NCAA championships, I believe ranked in the top eight in the country. Pearson Hunt has been in and out of the lineup. He will compete in the Fighting Illini Spring Collegiate, which begins tomorrow at the Atkins Golf Course in Urbana, Illinois, as the number three golfer. And behind Jackson Buchanan and Adrian Dumont de Chatart, who's in the PGA Tour University rankings to be earning, you know, spots on the Corn Ferry Tour post-graduation here this spring. So that says something that, you know, Pearson's number three behind a guy like that in a close third. So we'll see. I mean, if, you know, here you are, your final tournament before postseason's on your home course. But I think, you know, it's made Pearson more competitive. I mean, that's why Pearson Hunt went to Illinois. He knows nothing. He knew nothing was going to be handed to him there from Coach Mike Small. And he's kind of rolled with the punches down there. And I think he's a great example of how you handle, you know, the ups and downs of college golf.
Yeah, Rob, you know, he could have gone to a lot of other schools and been a number one guy for 4 years. But he chose Illinois because you're exactly right. He knew he'd be pushed not only by Coach Small, but by the other players on the team. And that has been evident. You know, he's earned everything he's gotten. That's for sure. He's been in and out of the lineup a little bit, maybe a little bit more inconsistent than he was maybe a couple of years ago, but now is his time to shine. And we all know what he can do. We've seen him in action in plenty of tournaments in our state in Wisconsin to know that he's an exceptional talent. So it'll be cool to see what he can do here in the final weeks of the season here.
And at the Division I level, I think, you know, especially the high Division I level, these kids that go to these schools are looking to get to the next level. Nothing is handed to them at the Corn Ferry Tour. Nothing is handed to them on the Epson Tour. If you're a Division I women's college player, you have to earn it. The other two things that factor in, Gary, kids at that age are usually working a lot on their swing, and the swing isn't always as confident as it may seem from the outside. And lastly, you know, I mentioned earlier, we're getting to that final exam portion of the semester here in a few weeks, and they have to either have exams proctored to them during, you know, this period of time on the road, or they'll come back after conference championships, have to squeeze in some final exams, then go on to whatever, if they can go on to a regional or the national championship. So there's still that component of college that you and I know, but we didn't know the golf end of it, because these are, you know, kids that have to balance that this time of year.
Yeah, and Pearson's a bright guy. If there's one guy I'm not worried about, it's Pearson Hunt. That guy, young man, has a tremendous head on his shoulders, and he's going to be fine no matter what happens here going forward.
Well, it's for Gary and myself, this is kind of like our version of March Madness for basketball, and the selection show for the NCAA men will be, I believe, the following week then on Golf Channel. And again, a lot of opportunity for teams from Wisconsin, individuals from Wisconsin, to get into that. If you win your conference championship now on both the men's side and the women's side, you get an automatic individual berth if your team doesn't go. And then if your team doesn't go at large, then we've seen it with Hunter Eichhorn and others, Cameron Husk, Griffin Barella last year. There's opportunities for individuals to get to the NCAA regional as well. So a lot of fun golf to look forward to here as we wind down the college golf season. Gary, you had a couple of interesting things. Speaking of that next level, I think your interview with Kaylor Steger out of the Racine area and between his scorecard on a mini tour down in Florida, the West Florida Golf Tour, and everything he's experienced on PGA Tour Latino America, which gets which has another event on the calendar next week. It's been eye-opening for Kaylor as he tries to make his way out there in the professional ranks.
Yeah, it sure has. Yeah, yet in that West Florida Golf Tour, Rob, in an event, the Sarasota Open, as I detail in my story, he went bogey, quintuple bogey, birdie, hole in one. So on the scorecard, it was 5-10-3-1. And he said he was excited when he made the hole in one, but the first thought that went through his mind is people are going to see this scorecard and say, how did you make a 10 on that hole? But he is... he has had some ups and downs, as you know, as every young player does when they go out, strike out on their own. You know, it's such a different atmosphere, Rob, as you know, than college golf, where you have a team and you have teammates around you. You know, you go out on that lonely path as a young mini tour professional. You're all alone. You know, you're trying to navigate in Kaylor's Steger's case, the PGA Tour Latin America, where you're in different countries. He doesn't speak much Spanish, speaks no Portuguese. So when he's in Brazil and Argentina and Chile, you know, there's a lot of stresses and it's hard to get around. And it's been a learning experience for him. But one thing it's taught him is he doesn't want to spend 5 or 6 years on this tour. He wants to move up to the Corn Ferry. So he's highly motivated. He's got the talent. Now he's got to play well from here on out on that tour.
Well, one other golfer with Wisconsin ties, former Marquette golfer Hunter Eichhorn, made the cut at the Corn Ferry event last week. And as we documented, with the exception of 9 holes, played pretty well. This week, George Kneiser, former UW Green Bay golfer out of Oconomowoc, qualified in the Monday qualifier and opened with a 71 in the opening in the first round Thursday. Today, an up and down round, but he closes with 2 birdies in his final 3 holes to shoot a 3-under par 68. He's currently T96. It looks, Gary, like he's going to miss the cut by about 3 shots, I think, if I look at this correctly. He's 3-under now. It looks like 6-under is going to get through. The leader, Kevin Doherty, a young man who was from Murrieta, California, and that would Kevin would often house Jordan Ebrugge when Jordan would come through for the Corn Ferry Tour qualifying stages over at Bear Creek. Kevin, 64-62, and he's at 16-under to lead this week's Corn Ferry Tour event. Gary, I don't see those scores except in par 3 tournaments. Sometimes, you know what I mean. That's some.
I see him in mini golf sometimes, Rob. I've broken 60 in mini golf a few times. Yeah, in my day. That is some scoring there. But you know, that's what you have to do on the Corn Ferry Tour if you want to contend in those. In those events, you pretty much have to shoot, you know, 6, 7, 8 under almost every day on most of those courses. Once in a while, they go to a course where par is a little more, you know, challenging. But most of the time, you got to play your butt off. And George had a good round today, maybe probably not good enough, but good to see that he got it under par. You know, a couple 3-under pars, that's a good day.
And here's what George Kneiser was up against, Gary, and this goes down as one of the yeah, this is what the Corn Ferry Tour, it giveth and it taketh away. After one round, George Kneiser was tied with a golfer named Mac Meissner after matching 71s. Today, Mac Meissner moved up 104 spots on the leaderboard after shooting a 59. So,
wow.
71-59. So Mac Meissner and George Kneiser slept on the same score last night. And then Meissner comes out. Let me check out his scorecard here.
Wow.
He finished with an eagle on number 9, but other than that, it was 5 birdies on the front, 5 birdies on the back, and then the eagle to get to 12 under on the par 71 course down there at Lakewood Ranch, Florida. This is the Leecom Suncoast Open or Classic. And so, you know, again, we've often likened mini tour golf, Gary, to playing the lottery. And I think the chances are slightly better playing mini tour golf than trying to buy a Powerball ticket, but not by much.
Yeah. You know, talking to just to get back to Kaylor for a second, you know, it's hard to make money. I mean, you've got a place in the PGA Tour Latino America in particular, you've got a place in the top 4 or 5 or 6 to cover your expenses. And that's a lot of pressure week after week on that tour. Corn Ferry Tour, of course, pays a little better. but everyone's trying to get to the PGA Tour. So at 59, wow. I know there have been a few of them on the Korn Ferry Tour, and
yeah,
there's probably at least a dozen now in PGA Tour sanctioned events, Al Geiberger being the first guy to do it, Mr. 59 way back when. But 59 is on any course is pretty impressive.
PGA Tour champions playing this week in Irving, Texas, and the invited celebrity classic, Jerry Kelly at 200 par 69. He's currently T22, three shots behind co-leaders Alex Chayka, Rob Labritz, and Mark Hensby. Mario Tiziani in the field as well this week out of Madison. He finishes with an even par 71, three birdies, three bogeys in the opening round for Mario. But at T34, the Las Colinas Country Club playing kind of tough, Gary D, for a PGA Tour Champions event. Not a great field. A number of the big names not in the tournament this week. We'll tell you where Steve Stricker is in a minute. But, you know, Mario needs a good week to kind of continue to move up the Schwab Cup standings. I believe he came into the week in the top 40 there. But actually, he was – so he started 43. If he were to finish at T34 this week, he'd go down to 47. Not bad for a guy who's got limited status. But we're kind of back into it now. Now we start a stretch of tournaments on the senior circuit where there aren't very many breaks after their 3-week break over the Masters. Nice to see Jerry and Mario playing well.
I'm guessing the wind blew up at Las Colinas Country Club because those scores are not what I would expect from the, you know, from that level of a golfer. I'm guessing the wind probably was blowing 30 miles an hour to get guys bunched up at 1, 2, and 3 under par there.
So we will continue to follow them through the weekend. Scores will be posted to Wisconsin.golf. And actually, let me check this out here, Gary. Let me tell you what the wind was blowing. It was mostly sunny with temperatures in the low 70s. Winds north-northeast at 12 to 18 sustained. So you know that the gusts were probably up over 20. So that was – Mark Mulder has the lead in the celebrity competition. I know Tony Romo was supposed to play. I don't know. Oh, here we go. Tony Romo and World Golf Hall of Fame member Annika Sorenstam are at T3 with 34 points. They're doing the Stableford system, the celebrity portion of this. And Mark Mulder at 37 points. I'll try to get that posted when we post the scores with the real golfers. Although as I put in our sweet spot item this week, do you think Tony Romo will give the senior tour a try when he turns 50? He's only 7 years away. It's his birthday this week, and I think he's 43.
You know, I think it probably depends on where he is with his contract with CBS. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
If he's still doing football, I think he gets paid a lot of money, Rob, to do those football games. But we know how competitive he is, and golf has filled that void since he left football behind. So I think, you know, he'll definitely try to play some events. So we'll see, but I think it all hinges on where he is with his football announcing contract.
Last but not least on the tour this week, Steve Stricker, Zach Johnson pairing up at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. And as we record the podcast, still a few golfers on the course. Do they have a cut in this thing, Gary? The cut line is 10 under, and they're not going to make it. 7 under is their score after two rounds. 66 yesterday in the best ball, 71 today in the alternate shot. And it was a neat pairing, but it looks like a short stay on the PGA Tour for the most recent and the current Ryder Cup captains.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it on TV yesterday. They showed Zach a little bit. I think they showed Stricker once or twice. I think they shot 6 under yesterday, which was respectable in the better ball, but not a great day in alternate shot. And that's surprising a little bit, Rob, because they have very similar games. I think they're, you know, they're both great wedge players. They're both great putters. And, you know, Steve's probably a little longer off the tee, but I would think their games would be very compatible, but they just must not have made many putts. That's what the only thing I can think of, because I didn't watch any of it today.
Yeah, well, and right now, Wyndham Clark and Bo Hostler lead the way at 16 under par. Doc Redman, Sam Ryder, that duo is tied with Keith Mitchell and Sungjae Im for second. 61-67 is a good story in this format because that's what's leading down in New Orleans. And before we wrap up the podcast today, Gary, I think one of the we posted a story to the site today that is worth a look. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks, especially on your way back. We recorded this, 2 weeks ago from the parking lot of the Macklemore Club. And I tell you what, we've had a lot of pictures rotate through the top spot on Wisconsin.golf since we launched in 2016. And none more spectacular than what the picture is with your story about your day at Macklemore Club, the Highlands course. And Lookout Mountain, indeed. You call it the most spectacular 18th hole you've ever seen. And is that the 18th hole we're looking at, or is that just another run-of-the-mill hole out there at the Macklemore course?
That is number 18, Rob. Par four. Yeah, the green is like 10 feet from that drop-off. So if you hook one left, as I said in my story, if you didn't bring your pitons and your rappelling gear, it's a lost ball. Don't go looking for it. It's a beautiful hole, though.
Well, you want to read Gary's account of the day there and just, you know, stare at some of these pictures, because especially if you haven't gotten out and played around a golf in Wisconsin yourself, man, you know, there's a lot of great golf venues in this world and in our country, and you never know where you're going to find them. Gary, it was worth the drive. I got to tell you, you always drive it back and forth to Augusta. Sometimes I question your wisdom. This time, if you read this story, nobody's going to challenge it. And it had to have been the round of, you're not going to top that round for beauty this year. I've got money on that.
No, that's for sure, Rob. And, you know, I was invited back next year. They're opening a second course called the Outpost next year. I think it's supposed to open in the summer, but I'll at least get to see it, you know, just before it opens, I think, next year. And it is going to be twice as spectacular as what you're looking at with the pictures there on the Highlands course at Macklemore. And Jack Shoger, our friend, longtime head professional at Abbey Springs, texted me and said he played Macklemore on his way home from the Masters, and he birdied that 18th hole. Wow. So yeah, good for him. I made a 5-footer for bogey, Rob, so I was happy with that.
And you didn't fall off the cliff, even better.
No, I didn't.
I need a podcast partner.
Yeah, I managed to stay on the good side of the turf there.
Outstanding. Well, Gary, that does it for Talking.Golf this weekend. We'll continue to watch those college golf leaderboards, and we'll figure out what all went on the women's side when we talk again next week. And then when we record this next week, we'll be into the Big East and the Big Ten Conference Championships. So fun stuff ahead. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, Talking.Golf, sponsored by Golf Time Midwest Magazine and the fabulous Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. If you haven't played Eagle Ridge Resort, have we got the ticket for you? Just go to our sister website at golftimemag.com. That's Golf Time Midwest Magazine's online portal. And you can find a link on Wisconsin.golf. And then once you get to golftimemag.com, you'll look for the Great Golf Story Contest for 2023. The basics of the contest are this. It's got to be 350 words or less, and the story needs to be funny, fantastic, or of human interest. A lucky winner will be chosen at random, and that person will be the most popular person around because he or she will win a weekend getaway for six to Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena. So go to our website at wisconsin.golf. Look for that link to Golf Time Midwest Magazine, or just hop on over to our sister website, golftimemag.com, and enter to win the weekend getaway for six at Eagle Ridge Resort. And while you're there, just give us in 350 words or less a golf story that was funny, fantastic, or of human interest. That's the Great Golf Story Contest for 2023. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.